And welcome back to another episode of Extreme Voltage. My name is D. Malconian. It is April 25th, 2024. It is draft day. Day number one, only a few hours away. It's a little after 1 o'clock West Coast time, Los Angeles time. And your Chargers are on the clock for number 5 pick in the 2024 NFL draft. But let me ask you, is it the number 5 pick? Or are we moving down like many draft pundits might be explaining to maybe the Minnesota's pick? So we're going to talk about that today a little bit. We're going to talk, obviously, draft is the huge portion. You got some free agent news, obviously, that we're digesting all the pickups for the Chargers here in the offseason with Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh. So this is big. This is the first draft of this new organization. And with that is obviously the anticipation of getting the roster back to where it should be to challenge for a championship immediately in 2024. And that's crucial to talk about because, you know, this is a new regime, obviously, right? We've got the Keenan Allen trade that occurred, the Mike Williams free agency, or I should say the release, and you know, leaving the team with these two large pillars of the offense are gone, including Austin Eckler, who moved on with free agency to Washington Commanders, didn't re-sign any of the running backs, basically, besides Isaiah Spiller coming back on. This is crucial, right? This is a big change. And, you know, in the NFL, you really can't have an off year where you're rebuilding. It's a recharge, all right? And, you know, it might be a slang or it might be things that people want to say to make them their teams feel better for the season, but it's the truth. With Joe Ortiz and Jim Harbaugh, this is not a season where they're going to just pile up and get ready for 25 and 26. It might be the case. And maybe they have an understanding that that's what they're going to have to do to get back on. But any regime is going to tell you, man, you cannot take it for granted. You cannot take a year for granted and say, well, we're just going to gut it up and start over again. Sure, it happens for, you know, to get the first round draft pick and start new. And you know, the first 2 years are going to be a mess. But with the advent of free agency, the way it's become now, prevalent use of crucial free agency, smart free agency, along with draft capital. I mean, look at the Texans last year, out of nowhere, and they're in the playoffs. So that's not an off year to go from, you know, having the number one pick basically or number two pick in the draft in 23 to becoming a legitimate playoff contender at the end of the year. They had a chance, right? They had a chance. That's crucial, right? Injuries aside, they lost some receivers and so forth, kind of hurt them. But, you know, having a rookie quarterback that played amazing, that Texans team had a chance. So you can't go into a team. A legitimate organization cannot just say, hey, we're going to bag it up this year and move on to next year. No. So this is a crucial draft for this initial setup here. So, yes, look, the Chargers have a franchise quarterback. That is something that teams are struggling and striving to get. Look at what's going to happen to top 10 picks tonight, I should say, in the first round. I mean, these teams are all going after quarterbacks because you can have everybody playing all pro everywhere, but if there's no quarterback on your team, forget about it. You're done. So the Chargers have that crucial piece, right? Check. Number two, you have Rashawn Slater. He's your left tackle. And regardless of what you might have seen last year, maybe not the best of seasons for Rashawn. He could probably tell you that as well. But if you go to PFF, Pro Football Focus, which I love to talk about, not a subscription to it, PFF graded Rashawn at 76.6 as the left tackle, 17th tackle, right out of 81 in the league last year. And that's an off year. And that's an off year for Slater. Now he's going into his contract year, right? This is his fourth year, I believe, getting in. So there's got to be a new contract coming in place. We just saw Penei Sewell, the right tackle for the Detroit Lions, grab a nice chunk of money, $112 million for 4 years. And now he's a right tackle. So that left is going to be, you know, at least $30 million a year, correct? I would imagine. So he's looking at a big payday. And that's going to be crucial. So the left tackle is in, right? So you've got two strong pillars in. You got your franchise quarterback, you have your left tackle, right? You're good to go on those fronts. Great. Now let's go on the defensive side. The next pillars you want to attack are your defensive ends, the pressure to the quarterback, to make those second and third downs, specifically third downs, into fourth downs. So that is a big step. And we have Bosa and we have Mack. Khalil Mack had a 91.8 grade on PFF last year, sixth out of 112 edge rushers. Sixth place. Had a career year last year. Khalil playing in all those games last year, 17 sacks. 17 sacks, right? In all 17 games he started. He didn't miss one with injury, knock on wood. 10 passes defended, 5 forced fumbles, okay? 74 combined tackles, 57 of them solo, 21 tackles for losses, and he had 22 quarterback hits. So you've got, look, he's an older cat, right? He's an older cat, but he is an amazing player. So check off on that as well. And plus you have Bosa. And yes, Bosa banged up last couple of years. And, you know, obviously he'll tell you that as well, right? Hasn't had the best couple of years, and he's got a lot to prove coming in to stay on this roster the following year because he's got a couple of years left on this contract. So regardless of age, you've got two great edge rushers, right? So as of right now, that's check. And Thule is right there with you as well. So you've got a young cat ready to go that will be playing a lot more in regards to getting in that rotation with Thule. Teopolotu played in 17 games last year, 11 starts. Again, 4.5 sacks, 53 total tackles, and 12 tackles for loss. So you've got a big three there coming at you. And I would imagine they're going to add some more to that edge rush power back there as well. So you've got three items checked off. Franchise quarterback, left tackle, and you've got some great edge rushers. So we're going to build upon that now, right? As long as you have those pillars set, now you build upon it. And I think the way Joe and Jim are going to hit this draft is, you know, I love this Raven mentality. Going back to what that all comprised of, that mentality was going to be obviously best player, right? Best player on the board. And that's the way the draft should fall to you. Because if you're going after need, which, you know, obviously is crucial because you want to improve your team that's weak, but that's not the right way to go especially top of the rounds, because you are looking at an incredible player. With the exception of quarterback, everything is in play right now for the Chargers, right? Everything should be in play. Obviously, there's some glaring needs at receiver, right? Because we don't have a number one. There is no number one. And we'll discuss that in a minute. We'll dissect that in a minute. Obviously, there's offensive tackle issue on the right side. We have a center issue that needs to be taken care of as well, right? Those are some strong needs. There's linebacker need, right? We'll discuss Perriman and so forth coming in. So we've got those to talk about. And we definitely have a corner need on the defensive side, right? We've lost a lot of corners here. And that's going to be crucial, along with some supporting safety. So you've got a lot of areas. But for the first round or two or three, you're looking at some, let's get the cream of the crop guys. You cannot ignore that and move on to a neat pick. You know, the best marriage would be great talent or, you know, special talent along with the need. Great marriage, right? That's what you want to get. However, if one is going to outweigh the other, balance of justice there, you're going to need to go with a better player because you don't know what's going to happen next year or the year after, especially with these contracts. You only have guys for 4 years. After that, they're free agents. So you don't have the guy long-term unless you're investing in long-term. And now you see the pricing on receivers, $25 to $30 million a year. So look at Amon-Ra St. Brown. He just signed for $30 a year, $120 million for 4 years. That's your new going rate, right? $25 to $30 for a receiver. So you're looking at that. And I say receiver because we're right there this tonight. We've got our choice possibly, depending on how the front four go. We're looking at three quarterbacks going off the board, 1, 2, and 3, right? Between Chicago, Washington, and New England. After that, those three franchises are in need of quarterbacks. And I'm assuming they're all going to stay there and, you know, pending a crazy draft or a crazy trade in the third pick with New England, they're staying. It's that fourth pick. That's the Arizona wildcard pick, right? Are they going to stay and take Marvin Harrison, which is, you know, arguably the best receiver coming out here? Or will they trade that pick and, you know, use the Minnesota pick or the Giants pick or Denver or whoever's going to come up and grab that for another quarterback? Let's assume that number four Arizona pick is going to be traded. Let's just say that's going to be the case, right? Now that your Chargers have a choice to make, they can take the best player in the draft, which is Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze as these top receivers, right? Because that's the top, the cream of the crop rises up there. That's where your heaviest set of players are at receiver. They're the cream. And man, that need is glaring right now. Because I'm going to go to it right now. You have Palmer. You have Josh Palmer, right? Which I think is a great number two. And I believe he's in his fourth year. And we're looking at a 67.6 PFF rating. 63rd out of 128 last year. Again, but Josh has the injury issues that come up. And he loses games because of that. And that could be some issues as well. Last year, unfortunately, it reared its ugly head again. He has prone to getting injured, but it's a receiver issue, right? It does happen. So that's one of the issues there. So you've got a good number two in him, and that's good. But let's go on to the other side. Your number one draft pick last year, or I should say their first round draft pick last year, right? With Mr. Johnston, right? In regards to Quentin Johnston, look, there's so much negativity towards him last year. And how could it not be with all those drops we're seeing, especially against that Green Bay Packer game? And I know this poor kid felt it. 6'3", 215 out of TCU. Offensive grade last year at 58.9. Receiving grade at 58.7 on PFF. So obviously, you know, the drops were big. However, I believe Quentin can become a really good number two. And he has a potential to be number one. We just haven't seen enough of it yet. And if you're giving up on him after one pretty awful season in regards to what the Chargers offense produced, that's premature. And I'm pretty sure this organization, obviously they didn't draft him. We get that, but you don't just throw away good players. And yes, he is a good player. He's a quality player. And you're going to have to work with him to make him better. And I think if you get him to become a strong number two this year, that's success. And if he's able to be your number one year after that, that's fantastic. And that's what you want to showcase. So yeah, you have Quentin Johnston, but yeah, right now he's a number two to me. Even number three. You haven't showed me enough, right, Quentin? You haven't done it enough. So we get that. So receiver is going to be a huge, huge need. And along with that marriage of perfect, I mean, Nabers, Odunze, Harrison, I mean, you got them up there. You're looking at grabbing, right? With the exception of, okay, trade down, because we know what Jim Harbaugh wants to bring, right? He's being so audible about it. It's not even funny. He is blowing out your ears. He's saying this is going to be a tough running team, right? He's an employed, his offensive coordinator who's going to be coming in. It's a strong running attack, much like the Ravens of old. Does that dissuade us that we're not going to have a good offensive attack? I doubt that. I think our attack is going to be really established on that running game, protecting Herbert. That's another big factor, is protecting number 10 back there. And that's huge because he's been beaten up last couple of years pretty consistently, right? To the point that he was out last year for a number of games and finished out the season on IR. So protection for Herbert, key. Getting that running game to what we need to get to establish that line of control, offensive control on the line of scrimmage presence and really dictating the game. That's crucial because, look, it might be really sexy in September, October, November to run around the field catching 50, 40, 50, 60-yard passes. Right, looks amazing. Look at the Miami Dolphins last year. You know, I believe they led the whole offense of NFL, just spectacular offense. What happened to them in January? They were frozen, frostbitten in Kansas City. Right. They couldn't get anything going. The quarterback couldn't move. Receivers couldn't get open, with the exception of one nice touchdown. They were just hamstrung in that cold. And look, and they had good running backs. You know, they have good running backs. What happened there? That line faltered. That team faltered. Right. And I'm not going to just blame one. I'm just saying overall, look at the old Chargers back in the day in the playoffs. You go in the conditions. Right. Any team that's built upon a strong passing attack, you're going to do great during the regular season. But man, if you have to travel and you're not the number one seed throughout, and you got to travel, you're going to have some cold games potentially. And you're going to have some wet games, cold games, and you're going to need a strong, not just a running attack, but an offensive line that's going to just dictate the game, right? And that's going to make your great two running backs become top running backs, right? I'd rather have a dominant offensive line that travels, right, is going to be there in every game, opening up holes for my above average running backs. And I can have a cadre of them, 3, 4, ready to go in the stables, right? These horses come out, they're young stud cats, and they're gonna just punish. And that's what you need, and that's what we did not have. We had an amazing Austin Eckler for a number of years, who was fantastic. But, you know, inside those tackles, we never had that strong running game. Third downs. How many times do we see those third down plays? Third and one, couldn't convert. Fourth and one, couldn't convert. We had, the big boys weren't there. So that's crucial. And I think that's going to be important for the Chargers. And they know that. They know what their offensive identity is going to be. So it's not like we're not going to pass the ball and we don't care about having receivers. Absolutely not. We're going to want receivers. We're going to want receivers that are dominant, can blow it up, can take the top off the defense, a la Tyreek Hill, right? Everybody wants that. You also want receivers that know how to run, how to block for the run. You want those guys playing. You don't want receivers that say, I'm not going to block. When I'm not, my number's not called, I'm just going to be up here and just do whatever. We've seen those guys, right? We've seen those guys. I don't want them on this team, right? If you're selfish and you're that type of receiver, don't come here. Because you're not gonna be successful here. You're gonna be frustrated here, right? This is not the offense for you, right? Go somewhere else. Because what they're looking for are those guys are gonna go in there, put their nose to the ground. They're gonna block when they're called upon and block some more. And they're gonna be going out and making passes or catching passes from number 10 because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So that's what we're gonna have. So Gus Edwards comes in on a free agent acquisition. I'm gonna throw that in there. I'll sprinkle out some of that free agency we got here. Gus Edwards comes in 73.7, 28th out of 59 for PFF rating last year. Had a fantastic year in Baltimore. So he's your number one right now. But you know, I see this running attack as a complete committee back. So if you're a fantasy football player out there, you know, I'm not going to grab him right away because you don't want him on he's not going to carry 25 to 30 a game. That should not be his forte. He's going to get beat up that way. He's a big boy. He's going to work it, but, and he should, through the tackles, but he's not the only one. So he's in play. J.K. Dobbins got signed last few days or just last week. And that's going to be an interesting one because of all the injuries, right, that he's suffered with ACLs and so forth. That, you know, we don't know when he's going to get ready to go. They're saying that, and Joe Ortiz was saying that he should be ready to go for, for August or for July for training camp. So that's fantastic. But again, you're not going to beat him up there right now. You know, he's still coming through those injuries. So obviously you're going to be drafting a back or two. I could see one or two being drafted. You still have Isaiah Spiller that now that we're establishing a running game and are going to invest in the offensive line, let's see how he does. You know, seeing him last year in training camp, I thought he was just a nice big specimen. And I think if you start popping holes for him where he's being not harassed through the first through a line of scrimmage getting out there, he actually acts as a lane to use and he gets to the second level. I think he's a one cut player that's going to cause some damage. So I'm willing to see what he's going to present too as a healthy back coming out. And that's your third or fourth back. So looks great. Bozeman comes in, center that was playing for Carolina. I believe before that it was the Ravens, but he comes in 62.2 on the PFF scale last year for him. So I'm excited to see how he's going to do as a center. Now, he's going to be a stopgap center, okay? So he's a stopgap right now. And I know for the draft, I'm pretty sure they're going to go center. How high? It could be as high as second round. Could go to third or fourth round. So it really just depends on what's happening, what they feel comfortable with that portion of it as well. Let's move along that line. So again, offensively, we're looking at receiver. We're looking at, obviously, running back. We didn't discuss tight ends. And, you know, obviously, we've got a huge tight end in play right now with Brock Bowers that was, you know, pigeonholed for us you know, when the beginning of this whole thing started, right after a season, it was all about, can we get Brock Bowers? Now it seems like we're a little too high for Brock, and he's going to go lower, and we have more needs than that. But look, if they're able to make that trade with Minnesota and get that 11 and 23 in the first round, you're looking at that potential, right? Now you're looking at maybe at 11 get Brock Bowers, because he probably won't be there after that. He might not be there after 10. But you know, that's a potential, and he's not just a tight end. He's a playmaker tight end. He's going to stay in block, and he's going to go out for you. So he does a lot. So, that's a great pick. And then you come back on the 23rd, and now you can pick up another receiver, or you get your old lineman right there, and get ready for your second round. So that's a potential. But in regards to our tight ends, you know, Will Dissly came in, out of Seattle, which is a great blocking tight end. They signed him for a 3-year program there as well. So he's in, which is nice. And I think you're going to see some great blocking coming out of him. And also Hayden Hurst comes in on, I believe, on a 1-year deal. So you got two tight ends already set up there, along with DJ Parham Jr. So I'm sorry, Donald Parham Jr. So now you've got that going on, right? Now you have three tight ends in play. Stone Smart will still be in the queue as well. I like Stone Smart. I think he still could be an effective rotational piece here as well. He's a big cat, and he'll learn how to block. I want to see what he's going to do with this new regime. And they get him in there on the line, and that'll be a nice little section for him as well. So you got potentially four tight ends here in the room, but yeah, you need that stud coming in. So regardless if it's Bowers or somebody else, and then maybe in the fourth or fifth or sixth, you know, day three picks, I think that's coming that way as well. So I'm excited to see what kind of and there's some great tight ends. If you look at the draft guides, there's some great young tight ends coming in that might have not been phenomenal in college, but size, strength, speed, they're going to present some great additions that can work in this lineup and sprinkle in throughout the year as you get closer to the postseason and become a factor. So I'm looking forward to see what that's going to take place. So that's the offensive side of it. That's what we're looking at for draft day issues and how we're going to look at it. Again, I got to tell you, I'd be excited either way. If we get a Neighbors or Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, I'm excited for that offense, right? If we trade down, and hopefully don't go past 11 or 12, and now we got a shot and another playmaker or a stud offensive tackle, much like a J.C. Latham from Alabama, that'll be fantastic. You know, that'll be great. Or are they going to stay up there and take their number one tackle, or, you know, what a lot of people say number one tackle for overall, and that's going to be Joe Alt from Notre Dame, right? And will he make the transition to the right side? So you got a lot of options, man. This is such an exciting draft process. I just absolutely love the players in the top of the round here. And I think going deep, I think we're doing well as well on the second day and third day. I'm looking forward to it. But man, the top of the draft is really, really 20, 25 players look fantastic coming through. You got about six offensive tackles in play. You got about a good five, six, seven receivers in play for the first round. It really is a fantastic loaded session. And I love the fact that there's at least four quarterbacks in play for the first round, if not even six. You've got a lot of options here. If those guys are getting getting called in and getting drafted, that just means better players are just falling to you. So if you do make that draft day trade for the first round or second round, you got some players falling your way. So that's going to be fun to see. Defensively, this is where it gets pretty intriguing for the Chargers, because yes, we've got holes, right? We've got holes we got to fix up, and that's going to be on the D-line. With some interior D-line depth, that's going to be crucial to see what we can do about getting that fixed up. You've got linebacker, free agency-wise, Troy Dye was signed as well as linebacker coming in. That's going to be another good signing that occurred with as well on the linebacker side of it. So these are good. Defensive tackle-wise, Puna Ford also was taken. I believe he played at Buffalo prior to this, so he comes in as well on the defensive side. But again, there's going to be that defensive need for linebacker and D-line. So I'm definitely going to be seeing a little bit of that getting picked up as we go throughout the process. Another free agent that was picked up from Tennessee Titans, Christian Fulton. I like him. Young defensive back. I think he'll take that that corner spot right across from Asante Samuel, where Mike Davis is now gone. I think he'll do a decent job there. I don't know him too much just because he has a lot of injury history. For the 4 years, he's battled some injury history throughout. But if he can maintain that and kind of limit the injury issues, I think he'll be a solid force back there. He signed a one-year contract. In his 4 years, he started 37 games with the Titans. He notched 150 total tackles, six tackles for loss, 25 passes defended, and four interceptions. So it's a good depth piece that can become a very good starter. But I also foresee the Chargers going corner early, meaning a day two pick. Also, safety is going to be a part of the plan as well for depth. Derwin James, Alohi Gilman just got signed for, I believe, a three-year contract as well in the offseason. They need their third or fourth for depth, and JT Woods just did not cut it. It's I believe it's his third year this year, has not seen the field, just a liability. Great speed, just can't cover out of position many times, not big enough, have not seen him excel in any way to be on the field during the season. So we'll see if that's changed in the offseason, if they have confidence in him, if he's changed his game. Otherwise, he's not going to make it through, and the Chargers need to look at that safety depth position. It's going to be a fantastic draft. I'm looking forward to it. I want to catch up with you guys Saturday afternoon or evening. We'll do another podcast, and we'll break down the first 2 days or 2.5 days of the draft and see how everything went for us. We appreciate you guys joining us. Please always catch us on Extreme Boltage Podcast on Instagram. Otherwise, we'll check back in a few days and hope you have a great draft night. Go Chargers, bolt up.